Good morning, all. Make way. I've not sang that since I was probably seven or eight. And in Derby, we used to walk around the streets behind a truck. It was a flatbed truck, and it had a massive sound system on the back. And we'd walk from church down to the local village singing Make Way. And Ruth just reminded me when Paul, her brother, was 2 years old, he'd sit in his pushchair going around the supermarket shouting, make way for the King of Kings. And obviously, Ruthman was not too pleased about that, as their child thought he was a King of Kings and telling him to shift out of the way. So we come to this passage. So we're entering the last week of Jesus' earthly life. So I'm going to do a bit of background, and then we're going to pick out, there's loads in it, so we're just going to pick out a few little bits and see what it can mean for us, if that helps. There's going to be some interaction in this, by the way. So you're going to need to start shouting some answers out at me as well and see how that goes, all right? They're not too technical, all right? So don't brace yourself for some deep theology going on today. So in Jerusalem, at the time of Jesus, it was very common for dignitaries to have parades. So this happened regularly. People entering Jerusalem, these big senior leaders, and what would happen? So when they would enter into the gates of the city, it was a way of showing honour. So think of it as a time today. So we have a look at this. Ignore COVID times, all right? Well, just imagine driving an open-top bus down Piccadilly Circus, all the ticker tape coming down, banners being waved, flags aloft, flags representing palm leaves. It was a jubilant air, you know, nice and happy situations. And it was visible, the happiness and the joy of welcoming someone into town. This is when England won the World Cup in 2003. So I just had to find some images of big crowds and ticker tape stuff. But let's think about the Roman version. So this is our kind of version of today. So let's think about the Roman version. Instead of an open-top bus, the leader would enter on a war horse. So this nice big stallion, something that means something. You know, I'm the king, I'm the guy in charge, praise me. And they'll be escorted by loads of citizens in his own army, all singing hymns and throwing praise on this guy on this horse. Obviously they had those different gods, so it'd be whatever god that one was a part of, they'd be praising that god. The procession would head down the streets, and they'd end up at whatever temple of that god they were worshipping. So, similar to Jesus, he ended up at a temple. But this was the time, and this was how it worked for other dignitaries. But we're going to see how that's different for Jesus. Okay? So, yes, this was all the other leaders and senior people, war horses, straight to their own God's temples. We're going to have a look at what Jesus did. So, once you get the pattern, you'll know that this is a bit different. So, I've got a video. Hopefully, the kids will like it.
It was a time of celebration and remembrance. A time where God's people looked back to how they'd been rescued from slavery in Egypt. And looked forward with hope to never being slaves again. Amongst the festivities, news of a man called Jesus had reached the city. Some said he was a teacher. Others said he was a troublemaker. Still more said he was a prophet sent by God to help us. Whoever he was, amazing stories, miracles and healings seemed to follow him wherever he went. And now he was coming to Jerusalem. Maybe this was the time of rescue they had been waiting for. The streets of Jerusalem were rammed with people, desperate to get a glimpse of this new conqueror. Some began to roll out the red carpet, and others laid their cloaks on the ground. Others grab leaves from the trees, ready to wave on the tree. Songs began to bubble up in the crowd. The people could not contain their excitement. And then it happened. Here he was, Jesus. But something was wrong. There was no army. There were no weapons. Jesus wasn't even on a horse, but instead a high roller pink even angry. This was not what they expected. But little did I know, God's chosen king was now amongst them. The world would never be the same again. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus has come.
Super duper, just a bit of intrigue for the children. I showed this Zeb in the week and he named every character going through the video, including those with the swords and who they were. It was quite interesting. But it just shows you how we can get this story wrong or get it right and wrong in our heads. We're going to focus on certain bits of this bit of the story. So first, I want to focus on the donkey. All right? So I'm going to need your help. Can anyone name any famous donkeys? Wonky Donkey? Eeyore? Any more? One from Shrek? Any more? I've got one extra, you see, that none of you will get. Go on, John? I'm not sure. These are the four I've got. So yes, we've got Eeyore. And then fingers crossed. We've got the Shrek Donkey. Well done, everyone. Next one, Zeb got it. Wonky Donkey. No one got this one? Donkey Kong. Oh, he's not a donkey. I don't know why he's called donkey. That's all. I was trying to find another fourth donkey and that kept coming up on my web search. But I thought it'd be fun to put it in. But all these donkeys have different characteristics. So you look at Eeyore. What are some of the characteristics of Eeyore from the story of Winnie the Pooh? Miserable. Sad. Yeah, what are some of the characteristics of Shrek Donkey? Confident. Annoying. He's very boisterous and jumpy around, isn't he? Now, I've read Wonky Donkey, but I can't remember any characteristics from Wonky Donkey. Zeb does. Silly. He's silly. Okay. Donkey Kong isn't even a donkey. Did he? Okay. Henry got it in year one. So, these donkeys have different characteristics. But what this donkey in the Bible story did, he didn't know it, but he was carrying the King, Jesus. So, this might seem silly, but like Sam said already, we're going to look at the Zechariah 9, which says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your King comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey and a colt or a foal of a donkey." So Jesus doesn't come on a war horse. He comes on a donkey, but not just any donkey, all right? So donkeys come in all shapes and sizes. It's not a male donkey. It's not a fit, healthy donkey. Okay? We know this donkey's one that's just given birth. It's got a colt. Okay? So you might think this donkey that Jesus is riding on is pretty weak at the moment and quite indefendable. It's got no real defense system. So you get these kings on war horses, yet Jesus chooses a female donkey that's just given birth. One that's very much weak and probably only just carry someone on their back, to be fair. But what this donkey had was the privilege of carrying Jesus. And it made me think for the first bit of this, this might seem silly, we'll come to it later, but how can we be a donkey? Alright? So what type of donkey are you? What type of donkey am I? We've got this great privilege in this life to carry Jesus to others. Okay? Like the donkey in the story, we're pretty weak. We're just human. We've all got our weaknesses. We've got sin on our backs. But we also carry Jesus to others. And the way we carry Jesus to others will affect how they receive him. So just keep that thought going in the back of your heart, your mind. What type of donkey are you? Okay? And think about the privilege that is, that we carry Jesus just like the donkey did to others. So I'm going to move on to the next bit of the story, which is disciples. So Jesus sent his disciples ahead of him to get a donkey and a colt. So let's think about this. Jesus said to the disciples, go ahead and get a donkey and a colt. Bear in mind, these disciples have questioned everything Jesus has done at the minute. He's like, how did he do water into wine? What's going on? What's that parable about? They're always questioning. Now Jesus is saying, go ahead of me, you'll find a donkey and a colt. Just pick it up for us, tell the owner that I've sent you. Me as disciple thinking, I don't know what's going on there. They're very doubting in their head. But this time the disciples go with it. There's no sort of questioning. They just do it. So Jesus says you won't need to look for them. They're going into a village and Jesus said you don't need to find the donkey. It'll be there ready for you. So there's no searching or asking, have you seen a donkey and a colt tied up anywhere? They obviously know straight away where to go and where to find it. Okay, if asked by the owner, I'm guessing, who's going to own the donkey, say the Lord sent you and he will release them right away. So there's some special stuff going on between the spirit here where these guys have walked into a village, found a donkey without having to look for it and a colt, said to the owner, I'm nicking your donkey because the Lord needs it, and the guy's gone, yeah, go for it. You know, there's no questioning. It's the confidence that Jesus has got it, and we know a plan, okay? So there had to be a colt, as written in 9:9. So not just any donkey that you'll find in the street, it had to be tied up with a colt. So they didn't have to look for it. They went and they carried out their plan. How do we take that into today's world? From the disciples following plan and listening to Jesus and knowing that everything's going to be as it says it will be. Because often with me, you might think you're being told to do something and go, nah, that can't be right. That can't be what you're telling me to do. Now, this donkey thing that's been in my head all week, I'm like, no, Jesus, you do not want me to stand in church and ask them what type of donkey you are. I've got to be honest, because I feel pretty silly doing that. But all through the week, this thing in my head has been going, you need to talk about the donkey. You need to act. How do we carry Jesus? So I've took a risk. I've hoped that God has told me the right thing. And you never know, someone might be listening to the recording in the week, or someone in here might need to know, how do you carry Jesus to others like the donkey did? Okay? So I feel silly with that. But I feel confident that it was Jesus telling me to do, or the Spirit telling me that this is what someone needed to hear this morning. But also, how can we be confident when we get these little messages in our heads to do stuff and know that Jesus or the Spirit is going to be there with us to carry them through? So I've got a few Bible verses that are basically just provision, the provision from the Spirit and the provision from Jesus as we go through life. I'll have a walk over because my eyes are rubbish. So you've got here, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Another one, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Another one, the young lions suffer, want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Over the far side, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it's the gift of God, not a result of works, or no one that can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Another one, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Another one, ask whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. As I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. Another one, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, but to give you a future and a hope. Another one, I could go on for days with these that are found in the Bible. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So when you get that message in your head and you think, God won't help me get through this, or he's not going to provide what I need to do, tell my friend about Jesus, or he's not going to help me carry Jesus in this way, the Bible's littered with provision from the Holy Spirit and from God. And no more so than when Abraham was heading up a mountainside with his son ready to kill him on an altar. And yet we read, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram, just about to kill Isaac. He tied him up and everything, caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it says to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And God being God sent Jesus to the same place to die on the cross. He will provide whenever we need him. So don't think we're going in this life and carrying Jesus on our own. The provision is always there and the Spirit will always be with us. Okay? So that's what I picked up from that little bit about the disciples. So let's move on to the next page, which is this one. Here we go. So yes, now we head on into the temple. So Jesus has gone through. We've seen the disciples pick the donkey up. We've seen him head on through. How to carry Jesus on a donkey. How do we carry Jesus in our lives? Now we go to the temple. So this is not the first time Jesus has walked into a temple and turned it over in disgust of what's going on. He did it at the very start of his ministry in John 2, where we read, "When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts. Both sheep and cattle, he scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their table. To those who sold doves, he said, 'Get out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market.' His disciples remembered that it is written, 'Zeal for your house will consume you.'" So this is the start of Jesus' ministry. We read in this passage again that Jesus has entered into the temple and it's still going on. People are not treating the house of the Lord how it should be. They're still selling cattle. They're exchanging money. They're almost turning it into a den of robbers, as the passage says. So this is Jesus fulfilling another prophecy, which was that he'd had to heal his house. So this is Jesus getting his house in order, okay? So this is Jesus healing the temple for the fulfilling of promise. So Jesus is getting his house in order before he goes to the cross one last time. So yes, he's done it before. He's done it again. He's not happy about it, and he's proving a point that this house is for prayer, it's for healing, which is what he goes on to do. He clears it out, and then he starts prayers. He starts healing. He starts welcoming the children in. That's how his house needs to be ran. So this is Jesus saying, this is how I need to leave my church. But I kind of think, if Jesus came back into our churches today, and think about our bodies as well, so not just the visible church, but how many things do we daily practice under this cloak called religion, that we're Christians, some might not be, some are, but religion, how much is practiced under that cloak? That if Jesus came in today and went, what is going on? You know, there could be loads of stuff. I'm not going to name any. Even into our lives, if Jesus came under to us, in the way we act, in the way we live our lives, we'll move on to the fig tree in a mo. But what will he find inside ourselves? Will he find a den of robbers hiding under a cloak? Do we hide them bits of pieces inside us that Jesus can't see? Or we don't want people to know about? Or do we need to remove that cloak and let Jesus in to do what he did in the temple and cleanse it and make it into a house of prayer, a house of healing? At the end of the day, we're the bodies that carry Jesus. Let's let Jesus in to try and clear our lives up and let his Spirit work through us. Okay? So that's what I kind of got from the temple turning. How do we hide our darknesses, our things that go off in the temple that no one can see? As soon as Jesus comes in, things change. So let's try and open ourselves up to be more like Jesus so he can cleanse ourselves and get rid of those things through his Spirit. So we move on to the fig tree. So Jesus has now turned the tables over. He's put his house into order. He's turned it into a house of prayer, a house that's welcoming, full of children. He then gets hungry. He moves to Bethany. And on his way to Bethany, he saw a tree. And when he saw the tree, he saw a tree full of leaves. How good would a tree of leaves look? You look around, we're coming into spring, you'll get into summer, you see all these lovely trees full of leaves. Jesus is hungry. He's after the fruit of the tree. What he finds on that tree is nothing. It's a fig tree. It's meant to be bearing fruit. But Jesus can't take from the tree because there's nothing to show. So the tree looked good, but it had no substance. Now this could be linked to the chance he'd just received as he walked into Jerusalem, riding on that donkey. They're all going, Hosanna to the King of David, Hosanna, raising their voices. In a week's time, not even a week, he's calling it 4 or 5 days, these same people are turning their chants into crucify him. Empty praises, empty bodies, a tree that looks good but lacks no substance. So yeah, the chants lack substance. The tree was cursed. Jesus turned to the tree and said, curse you, may you no longer grow fruit. But it's also a warning for times ahead, is what I thought. I've got another video that Zeb will like in a moment. He's already telling me, but put the video on. But for our society now, how many times do we see people acting in a way that promotes Christ, even in ourselves, but we're lacking the fruit that's needed? So Jesus wants us to be used. He wants us to carry that. Jesus on a donkey. What donkey are we? He wants us to open our hearts. Let us cleanse all the sin. But also, how do we bear our fruit to enable Jesus to work through us? So I'm going to show you a little video. I added this one in this morning. It's a little boy talking, but he's also playing with Lego. But he kind of hits the nail on the head. But it's also the same for us today. Okay? I have to leave it. I think if I click it once more. Children know the right things to say sometimes, don't they? But same as us, we're this lovely looking fig tree. Are we actually producing the fruit? Or are we just a body that's aiming to carry Christ, but in the wrong way? So it's kind of just think about this week coming up. We're going to look at Jesus as we go through this last bit. And then we're going to ask a few questions to ourselves to think about going through the week. So Jesus, he identified with the humble, the ordinary, the poor, and the sinner. This is where he demonstrated his greatness. In the week that lay up ahead, he would demonstrate his servanthood rather than his kingship. He'd wash the feet of his disciples. He'd become that servant, that slave. And he needed to do his Father's will rather than his own. He would seek his Father's approval before that of men. He would wear a crown of thorns rather than one of gold. He knew that suffering was ahead. And this suffering came before the glory. So as we come into Holy Week, a few things to think about, a few questions to take away. Simply, what kind of donkey are we? How do we carry Jesus in our lives to others? Let's be like the disciples who followed Jesus' words. Become confident in his provision that he will provide whenever we need him. Just like, oh, we're on another page, look. I'm going back a sermon, there we are, that's not good, is it? Yeah, so be confident in his provisions. Let's look into our own lives and the things we may be hiding under our cloaks and bring them into the light. This is the perfect week to do it. We're looking at the triumphal entry to the cross. This is the perfect time to open up our hearts on a daily basis and say to Jesus, what do you want me to do? How can we do it? Cleanse me. So pray for the Spirit to cleanse us. Just as Jesus went and cleansed the temple to make it right. Also, find ways to grow our fruit. Just like the fig tree, it had no fruit. It looked good, but it couldn't deliver. So pray to Jesus and pray in the Spirit that we might find ways this week as we build up to the death and resurrection of how we can show our fruit to others that will look good but be good as well. And make sure that we have substance in our lives. You know, we're going to get asked lots of questions. We as Christians, this is the week where people are going to go, what's Easter all about? We can either say it's about chocolate eggs and Easter bunnies. We could even just say, oh, it's about Jesus. Or we could just say it's about Jesus and do a bit more. Jesus will provide. He'll give us the answers. Let's stand up to ourselves. Let's say, look, I'm a Christian. Jesus died for me. He died for you. People might then ask more questions. But don't worry about getting into choppy water with these questions. Because as we've already read earlier, the Lord's going to provide in whatever situation we find ourselves. So let's be that tree that produces fruit, the donkey that carries Jesus the right way that others can see. So may this week mean a closer walk with Christ on his final journey to the cross. May we learn there's sometimes a need for Christians to embrace our crosses, discover afresh the Saviour that is present in our suffering, the one that lives with us. We were never promised an easy ride. During this coming week, let us rediscover what lessons we need to learn in order to be better Christians and better witnesses in the lives in which we live. Amen.